La viande de Gilea Bahami qui a mogoso shonto que chate que sote clé. E parrobocos. We thank you, Master. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for praying through us. We thank you. We come to you, Father, tonight in the mighty name of Jesus, asking for your forgiveness, for your mercies, and for your grace, repenting for every area that we've offended you. Offended you. Not offended man, but offended you. But we also repent for those that we have caused offense by unrighteousness to anyone in our life. And those who've hurt us and abused us, we forgive and bless, and we loose them from us now. In the name of Jesus, wash us with the blood, fill us with your Spirit, Master. And I pray tonight, Father, that you will open our eyes to another realm of understanding, that you'll open our ears to another realm of revelation, and that you'll exchange our heart for the heart of Christ and sever us from every emotional attachment, every spirit of bondage. Loose us, Master, from ourself, from the past, that we may walk in the present with you as you prepare our future. Come, Holy Spirit, bring us to the throne room of our dad again tonight as we lay everything at your feet, Master, everything, that we may be free. Free. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So we make way tonight for the Spirit of the Lord to have his place. And we promise to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all all right tonight? Praise God. I'm amazed at some of the things that the Lord... It's not that what he does. It's the things of how he kind of like expresses himself, says, I love you. You know? Just in sometimes the simplest, strangest ways. You know? And so many times we're trying to, you know, in the natural realm, everything associated with somebody loving someone was somebody giving them something. You know?
Well, if you love me, give me this. Show me your love by giving.
I mean, as a young child, we were brought up, you know,
if you love me, yes, I want that popsicle.
No, that lolly. And that Baby Ruth bar. And wait a minute. And that toy. You know, every time you went to a store, you know, is your mom or dad brought you to the store or whatever. You were looking for something. You know, you were going to try to make your mom or your dad, who was over your guardian, love you. Okay, if you love me, buy me this. And so many times God is in that area of just releasing something in your life to show you that he loves you. He makes a way where there just doesn't seem to be a way. The problem that we have is trying to make it our way. You know, and it's so important to constantly come out of that arena of trying to make it your way. You know? And in this, if you allow God truly, if you really will allow him, really allow him to operate in your life, he'll show you so many things that will just blow your mind. I mean, it just overwhelms me sometimes. And now we respond to him of who he is because of revelation of who he is because of not only of his goodness, by worshiping him. You know, we respond to him by showing our love to him by praising him. We respond to him by showing our love towards him by obeying him, because we know that he's looking out for our best interest. He's always looking out for our best interest, but we have this tendency to try to look out for our own best interest. And those best interests are usually wrong. We've all tried and failed. It didn't start until we finally surrendered. Amen. And in this cooperation with God, He's always trying to bring us to another level. He's always trying to bring us to more blessings, more of His presence, because the greatest blessing you can have is the presence of God. And so in that, there's that area where we're constantly shedding self. We're constantly coming to the end of ourself, and it'd be nice that we came to the end of ourself today. But it doesn't work that way. It's a process. The only day that you're going to come to the end of yourself is when you depart from this earth. But in the meantime, there's things and revelations and impartations that the Lord gives us so that we can constantly have dominion over self. So we can begin to understand the things from above and stop relying on the things that we've understood from our past and our natural realm. And I believe tonight there's an area where we, you know, the spirit realm is where we've come from. We came from the presence of God, and we want to return to the presence of God. So even right now, there's peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit, because there's that presence of God, you know. And when that presence of God comes, it's just that hugging feeling, that loving feeling, and that area where you know the first thing you know, realize, oh Lord, I know I'm not doing the fullness of the way I should, you know. You know, there's always that, because He's so awesome, you know, you can never walk to those expectations or walk according to that presence that He, you know, that you've just touched or tasted. But we have a desire to want to. But when we get in that presence, it's like, man, I know I should be doing more. I know I need to, you know, anybody that's ever gotten in God's presence has always said, oh Lord, I'm sorry. And you don't even know what you're sorry for. You're just sorry because, you know, you got to say you're sorry when you get in that presence. Because it doesn't matter. Even your sorries in the natural realm don't mean nothing compared to the sorries in His presence. Sorry. I'm sorry. I don't know what I did, You know. And that's because His presence is just so overwhelming and so good. And I believe that He's just constantly giving us things so that we can practice certain things. And in practicing things, we need to have what we call like a spiritual practice. In other words, you are practicing the things of the spirit realm, of the place that you've come from. You are practicing certain things so that you can maintain the presence of God. You are practicing certain things. And that's the area where, you know, sometimes we start off and it's like, man, this is tough. But it doesn't have anything to do with being tough. It just has to be disciplined to continue to practice those things. And then as you continue to practice things, there's always a breakthrough. As you stay disciplined and practice, there's a breakthrough. And God is always waiting for us to get that breakthrough. And He puts things in our path and allows us to go through things so that we can have the breakthrough, so that we're not so much in bondage. Now, you know, you may think you're not in bondage right now until something happens and you realize, man, am I been in bondage? Man, how did I get there? You know, and now all of a sudden things begin to escalate more and more and more and more of the things of the world begin to flow in your life, and you're moving more away from the things of the Spirit of God. And it's real easy to get into if you don't maintain an area of spiritual practice. Does everybody understand? Would you turn to James chapter 4? James chapter 4. Now, you can't practice something you don't know. Amen? And that's why the Spirit brings us things so that we know those things to practice. In James chapter 4, and starting at verse 1, would you read it with me? And it states, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your what? Desires for pleasure that war in your members. So there's war in your members. It says that you lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you spend it on your own pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, I want to share about this spiritual practice because there's a powerful understanding here in Revelation that the Spirit is bringing to us so that we can begin to see other areas in our life. Of course, there's warring of members, right? In other words, these members are associated with the carnal of self, the carnality of self. Warring of members, what is it? It's the carnality of what? Self. But then there's an area where there is the spiritual of new birth by the Spirit that practices righteousness. Has everybody got it? Now, that which practices worldliness is a friend of the world and promotes self because self is an offspring of deception. Self is a what? Offspring of deception. It says that the Spirit yearns jealously, right? What's he trying to do? The Spirit yearns to express the new birth of the Spirit when you are born again over the carnal birth. Is everybody with me? He desires to express the new birth of the Spirit that you are born again with over the carnal birth. But we must recognize and cooperate. Are you listening? Now, self is protected by pride. So pride always defends self. Pride does what? It defends self. Fear protects and defends pride. And anger protects and defends fear. And lying, hello, protects and defends anger. Does everybody see this? So he's saying God resists the what? Proud. So those are practices of self, or what we call of the flesh or the carnal self. Are you with me? But grace is given to who? The humble. Those who are practicing those things in the what? Spirit. Now grace, we know, is the plan of God that he gives me and you to escape the deception of the enemy and the wrath of God. Now, we know that grace is expanded where it's holding back God's judgment. But grace does not give you the right to willfully sin. It doesn't give you the right to willfully sin. It's amazing how many people, well, I'm saved by grace. Yes, but how are you saved by grace? Well, grace is a plan of God to escape. Jesus said, I came in the fullness of grace. In other words, he came with a plan for me and you. That's why the Bible says, work out your what? Salvation. We knew that salvation was available, but many people have turned from salvation. Many people have turned from following the Lord. And the reason for that is because they've opened doors in their life of practicing those things according to the flesh. Is everybody okay? So the Bible says, submit to God. In other words, honor, respect, and obey. Now, how would you honor and respect and obey in this area by saying submitting? How do you express that? Well, you express that by what you practice. What you practice. So what you practice, if you're practicing righteousness, you are able to resist the devil, aren't you? Or you're able to resist the what? Deception. You're able to resist deception. And now the enemy will depart from you, and understanding will come. Galatians 5. So when it says that whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world, that means anybody who's practicing wickedness, unrighteousness, they become a what? Friend of the world. In Galatians chapter 5, in verse 16, would you read it with me? I say then what? Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh or practice those things of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the what? Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So understand this, that, and we'll get more into this a little bit. You and I were first born to the flesh. We're the offspring of deception. We were known as children of wrath. And when you are born again by Spirit, there's a difference in the area in how you express, and how you think, and how you see, and everything else. And one of the things, so we know that that born again child of the Spirit is always in conflict with that born or birth of the flesh child, what we call self. So he says here, verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you what? That you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are what? Evident, which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and anything like it, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who what? Practice, that's practicing unrighteousness. That those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, not... Now listen, self-control, not controlling somebody else. Self-control. You got control over self. Amen? Yourself. Self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who are Christ have what? Crucified the flesh or its practices with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, and let us not become conceited, provoking one another or envying one another. In other words, walking in the Spirit is practicing spiritual righteousness. Listen, one of the things you don't want to do is practice in the flesh. Flesh, what we call deception. This is the carnal self born of the flesh, and you can't cast out flesh. Does everybody understand that? Even though you'd like to. You cannot cast out flesh. I think many people try to, but they even try to drown it. Hallelujah. Come to one of our baptisms, praise God. In other words, you can't cast out flesh, but you crucify it by practicing the way of the Spirit. Has everybody got it? So what's happening now is you want to be able to stop practicing the things of the old life by practicing the things of the new life. It is the practice of the flesh that opens the doors to the demons and demonic forces, but the practice of the Spirit will keep them shut. Has everybody got it? So if you can't cast out flesh, you must keep the flesh crucified. Now self doesn't have dominion. But if you begin to practice any flesh, things of the flesh, you will open a door to the enemy. You'll open a door to demonic forces. Then you got to cast out that spirit of pride. Then you got to cast out that spirit of lust. Once you've practiced it, anything that you've practiced, you've opened the door to the enemy. And he has a legal right to access you. In 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Hallelujah. In verse 4. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever abides in him does not what? Sin. It doesn't mean you won't make mistakes. In fact, it doesn't mean you won't do a sin in the area of by mistake, you know. But it means that you'll repent so that sin will not have dominion over you. And whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. And that seeing him is important. Because faith is not blind, is it? The Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. That it means not natural sight. We walk by spiritual sight. People say, I'm walking in blind faith. There's no such thing as blind faith. It's called carnality. Jesus says something very powerful. He says, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it first. David said, and I always see the Lord before me. And we'll get more into this. But here's an area of walking in faith. Let's go a little further. Verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's been born of God or born of the Spirit. In other words, if you're in that place and position of that born-again state of being, sin will not have dominion over you. But I'm spirit-filled and I pray in spirit. Why am I? Because there's a reason for that. And we'll get there. Is everybody okay? In verse 10. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Is there a child of God in you? Is there a child of the devil in you? Yes. It's called self. So everybody got it. So, in other words, you're going to see which one's manifesting, aren't you? And whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Now watch this. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil. In other words, he was practicing wickedness already. He was allowing the offspring of deception to run his life. Has everybody got it? It says, and why did he murder him? Because his works were what? Evil. So he was practicing wickedness. And his brothers were righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world, what? Hates you. Why? Because that's a part of the fruit of flesh. It's one of the things that the devil does. He hates, doesn't he? So in us there is the child of the devil, which is self and flesh, and there is the birth of the child of God, is the spirit with the anointing. Are you listening? 1 John chapter 1. We're getting somewhere. We're just laying the foundation, so hang tough. Is everybody okay? In verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness or deception. Darkness is always a representation of deception. And we know that the king of deception is Satan. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in deception or darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. What are we practicing? Deception. So you're either practicing the truth or you're practicing deception. One or the other. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins or things that we've practiced, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Or what were he saying here? Because there are many people who have the word in them. In other words, they're not cooperating with the Spirit then. Practice deception or truth. In other words, mistakes that you and I have made, they are forgiven by confession, aren't they? So is confession of sin practicing truth? Yes. So confession of sin is actually practicing truth, not practicing wickedness. So when you have sinned, you repent. That's called practicing truth. Now, would the devil want you to repent? No. Why? Because then he can get more access to you. Go to Psalm 141. Let's read it. Lord, I cry out to you. Make haste to me and give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Let my prayer be set before you as an incense, and the lifting of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a guard, O Lord, over my what? Mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not incline my heart to do any evil thing. Now, before you go to the next part, I want to bring us to another arena here. There's two areas of practice. When you practice the things of self, it's called react. When you practice the things of the Spirit, it's called respond. So, he said, listen, please put a guard over my mouth and basically sew up my lips, because I don't want to practice anything that would offend you. I do not want to react. I want to respond. So I want you to begin to look at the word practice and begin to discern that in the area where you're seeing it's either react or respond. Because if it's according to the flesh, you're reacting. If it's according to the Spirit, you're responding. Now watch this. Do not incline my heart to do any evil thing, to practice or to what? React to what? Wicked works. With men who work iniquity, and do not let me eat of their delicacies. Now watch this. Let the righteous strike me. That's called a response or respond. It shall be kindness. And let him what? Rebuke me. That's called respond. That's not of the flesh. It shall be an excellent oil, and let my head not refuse it. In other words, my carnal mind, let it not refuse it. For still my prayers against the deeds of the wicked. Their judges are overthrown by the sides of the cliff, and they hear my words, for they are sweet. Our bones are scattered at the mouth of the grave, as when one plows and breaks up the earth. But my eyes or my sight are upon you, O Lord. In you I take refuge. Do not leave my soul destitute, and keep me from the snares they have laid for me. And from the traps of the workers of iniquity. In other words, so I don't react. Keep me from those things so I do not react. Has everybody got it? Let the wicked fall into their own nets while I escape safely. There's a difference between react and respond. And the word practice is going to represent one or the other. What you practice. Go to Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. In verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. Since the creation of the world. In other words, God can be seen everywhere. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without what? In other words, nobody has the excuse that there is not a God. Anybody who says that they don't believe in God, they're just making the choice not to believe because they don't want to be accountable. Why? Because, well, they're the offspring of deception, so they are number one deceived. Because regardless whether they believe or not, they'll stand before him and be accountable. So he's saying, since the beginning, all my attributes have been expressed through my creation, and there is no excuse that there is not a God. Because although, in verse 21, they knew God, they did not what? Glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened or what? Deceived. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changing the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. So God allowed them to bring self-judgment upon themselves. He allowed them to go to a place where they were going to be destroyed because they rejected him as God. Are you listening? Is everybody okay? Verse 25. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. Who exchanged the truth for the things that they were practicing of righteousness, they exchanged it for unrighteousness. And worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator. So, and who is blessed forever, amen. So they began to worship things of creation instead of worship the one who created. And it says, for this reason in verse 26, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged a natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust for one another, men with men or women with women, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, because they were trying to make the excuse that there wasn't a God, so they can do the things that they wanted to do according to the flesh or self, which is the offspring of darkness and the offspring of deception. God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, because you and I are born with it. Are you listening? Knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of what? Death. And that's the end result, isn't it? Now listen to this. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So that word practice means to what? React. React. So he's saying even those who are reacting and practicing it, even those who agree with it, will also come under the same judgment. And the end result is death. So God allowed the flesh to react and open the door to demonic forces. I listen. And those that approve of it are also, they have opened doors to demonic forces. I want to share a little bit about react and respond. To react is to act or do again. To act or do again. In other words, behavior according to what you have learned or what you have seen in your past life. I'm not talking about reincarnation, all right? Hello? I'm talking about before you've been born of the Spirit. You and I were born of the flesh. That's your past life. When you came to Christ, He gave you a new one. Again, to react is to act or do again. What are you doing again? Something that you've learned or something that you've seen in your past life before you were born of the Spirit. And this is in relation to stored memory of the carnal mind of self. It promotes negative outcome of verbal and physical actions. Of verbal and physical actions. Has everybody got it? To respond is to act or repeat what was learned in the new life after the birth of the Spirit and a positive outcome. Now, we already talked about the works of the flesh, right? Now, again, you might think, well, this is crazy, but some of these areas of to respond. In other words, you may respond with compassion. You may respond with a rebuke. You may respond with correction. How about repentance? Love? Forgiveness? How about exposure? Direction? You may respond in warning. But those things are all according to an area which is the motive is to rescue or express a rescue. Reconciliation and repositioning someone so that they're in divine order so they can receive the things of God and live a fulfilling life. Is everybody okay? Now I'm going to share this again. First of all, I'm going to share with you that before Christ, BC, you know, you reacted. Now after your death, you responded. So you may acknowledge someone, what are you, B.C. or A.D., man, you know? Man, you're reacting, you're either reacting or you're responding. And those are two practices. Are you listening? And it's important and vital that we understand this. Because many times you are reacting on the things of your past that you have seen, that have been burned in your memory. When you get angry in the flesh, you see something every time. See, when you do things to react, you always see the old. When you do things to respond, you always see Christ. You always see how Christ would act. You always see how Christ would act. You see it. The thing is we don't pay enough attention to what we see. But remember, faith is spiritual sight. So to react is act on those things. Or practice those things that you've learned of the past. It could be a circumstance in your life. You could have been abused. You could have done certain things. And then when you go to react again now, even though, yes, I pray in spirit, I do this, I do that, you can still react according to those things. Are you listening? Until something has changed. First of all, you gotta get some understanding. And that's why we're here tonight. Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4. You know, Paul said, I do those things I don't want to do. Practice those things I don't want to do. And the things I want to practice, I don't. Well, I believe we're getting the answer tonight. And he said, oh, wretched man that I am, thank you for Christ. Why? Because Christ gave him new life. So now he doesn't have to react, he responds. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 1. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to know what? Understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and only in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words and keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, and do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the spiritual thing, therefore get wisdom, and all you're getting, get what? Understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Does everybody see that? So we are to get understanding from the new life of the Spirit. We are to get understanding from the new life of the Spirit. That's why in Proverbs 3 in verse 5, it states this. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Your own understanding is the understanding of self. The new understanding is the understanding of the new birth of the Spirit. That new child, that's another understanding. So he says, get understanding. Get understanding of what? Begin to see what you practice in the area of whether you're reacting or responding. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. So everybody got it. Now, let's go to Proverbs 4 again in verse 20. So BC is react and AD is respond. After your death, you begin to respond. Because if you're dead, you can't react. The only thing you can do is what? Respond. In verse 20, my son, give attention to my words and incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your what? From your what? From your what? From your eyes. From your eyes. From your eyes. Why? So that you begin to see. He says, listen to my words. You know, every word has a picture. You know, there are phrases that have pictures. Words have pictures. Jesus spoke in parables, didn't he? Why? To bring a what? Picture. He brought a parallel of the spirit realm so people could understand the things of the spirit realm by his picture he brought into the natural realm. Do you ever hear a picture is worth 1,000 words? Do you realize, let me share something with you. God speaks to you more in picture than in word. But most of the time we're not seeing. And this is where we must get understanding to start seeing. He says it right here. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all of your flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look what? Straight forward, straight ahead. And your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all of your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove from your foot evil. Evil. Has everybody got it? Evil. So your eyes are to look straight ahead. Memories are pictures. You know why people take pictures? They have memories. And they go click, 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 click. And then they go back and look. Oh, look. Yes. It's a nice time there. So pictures are memories. And some of these memories are going to be of react or respond. See, I had to get rid of all of my react pictures. Because they became accursed items. React pictures are accursed items. They draw demonic activity. You know all those party pictures you used to have and stuff like that? When you react, you see a picture. Memory that has taken character of things. In other words, in this area of react, you see a picture. A picture, and when you react, is a memory that has taken a character of things negative in your past life, brought into the new life or the present. But not in the new life. It's not in the new life of the new man, but it's brought into the present. Are you with me? So I want to share this again. When you react, in other words, pictures are memories. When you react, you see a picture. That is a memory that has taken a character of things negative in your past life, brought into the present. When you respond, you see Christ expressing His character. Amen. Does everybody understand that? So sometimes we do things by what is still there in memory or in picture. We still react because it's not been severed yet. You know, I was an abused child, and I was always afraid of how I would react to my child if she disobeyed. Because I had seen some other things that have occurred, and I mean, I used to get my butt kicked. And in that, I would always have to, when I would go to scold my child, I'd always see my abuse. And I'd have to stop because I didn't want to react. And this wasn't, and I wasn't spirit filled either. I didn't want to. I was concerned that I would ever go over the boundaries and hurt my child like I was hurt. But now when I correct my child, I don't see that. See, because that can be replaced. Now I see Christ correcting my child. Now I see Christ doing this with my child. She may get rebuked and still get spanked, but there's never a fear of going over the boundary. Never. Because now I see Christ. I don't see the old. See, even in relationships and abuse of relationships and marriages and all kinds of other things, those areas that are still there and haven't been severed with, you still see. Women who've been raped and all kinds of other stuff, abused or rejected, abandoned, and all. Let me tell you, all of these hurts and all these areas, if they are not severed, that picture is still there. And you will react to what you see. And it's important to get this understanding because God's going to begin to reveal these things to you. You will try to justify also, compromise these areas. Because the old child doesn't want to get rid of them. It wants to use them against the new child that is born again. Has everybody got it? Everybody okay? Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 2, in verse 7. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. And what did he do? He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So he was born of the Spirit. Adam was born of the Spirit. Has everybody got it? He was not born of the flesh. He was born of the Spirit. Man was birthed by the Spirit. Now I'll go to verse 15. And it says, and the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which would cause him to practice wickedness, he said, you shall not eat, for in the day you eat it, you shall surely what? You shall surely die. In other words, that new creation, that which was birthed in the Spirit would no longer live that way anymore. So Adam and Eve were birthed in the Spirit. Is everybody okay? So the Lord said, listen, if you eat of this, the enemy would birth a life of deception. If you eat of this tree, you will no longer know the truth. You will no longer respond. You will react from this day forward. Is everybody with me? So remember, Adam and Eve were born of the Spirit. And God warned them, if you take of this, you will lose that birthplace. And you'll be birthed of the flesh. You'll be birthed of the enemy. Would birth a life of deception. That's what would be birthed. Is everybody okay? Genesis 3, verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband. So were they disobedient? Yes. And she knew that they would die, but the serpent said, man, God's the liar. Because he's the father of lies, and she agreed with him. Then the eyes of both of them were open. Of course, the eyes of both of them were actually closed. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam, his wife, hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So they no longer ran to the presence. They ran from the presence. Uh-oh. That was reacting, not responding. See, respond is always to run to the presence. To react is to run from the presence. Then the Lord God called Adam and said, where you at, man? Like he didn't know. So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was what? Afraid. Fear. Because I was naked and I hid myself. Well, Adam would have never hid himself from the Lord. Never. He walked with him. He saw him. Talked with him. Now all of a sudden he hid himself from him. That's an area where he, first time, he reacted. And let me share with you. That part of his life, an emotional picture was burned in him. And he feared all the rest of his days. Are you listening? Why? Because anything that had to do according to that fear, he would always run. Anytime there's exposure, people have a tendency to what? Run. Why? Because they're reacting. So that's a... Why? Because where did they learn it from? Where did they learn it from? The serpent. Because now it's a part of their character. They don't know how to respond. They only know how to react. Because they were now born of the flesh. Are you listening? No longer born of the Spirit. And he said to him, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Again, Adam just experienced fear and now he has a picture of hiding from or running from God. But the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is of the flesh. Again, because of the offspring of deception of self. Here it was birthed now. So when we practice these things, we open the doors of demonic forces. When we react to the memory of fear, which is an emotion, you know, and every picture carries an emotional, negative, or positive. And it's a negative or positive memory. The one thing that the Spirit is saying is, you must get understanding to begin to look. You must be able to see when you react, where is the root of that? Well, I pray in tongues and yes, but if you're still doing those things that react and practice the flesh, there's open doors of demonic forces in your life. And they can be exposed if you actually are willing to look. In Ephesians 5, we need to replace that picture to react with the picture to respond. Ephesians chapter 5. You know, let me share something with you. When you ask for forgiveness, it doesn't bring freedom. When you repent of your sins, you still reap. That's all that's happened is God has forgiven you. Then what he does is he brings you to a place for you to learn to get free, because freedom is learned. So many people think, well, if I just repent, I'm free. No, you're not. You are not free because you repent. Are you listening? People repent over and over and over and they're still in bondage. They're still reacting instead of responding. When you repent, it gives you the opportunity to get delivered. But God brings you to a process. Because what you sow is what you reap. That's a spiritual law. And he doesn't come against his own word. So just because you sinned and you repented... Hello? No, I'm not talking about something that you dropped a hammer on your foot and you said, oh, whatever. And you repented. That's different. Hello? Of course, I thought you said, oh, whatever. But anyways. But if you're seeing it happen to Christ in his carpenter shop, you won't say that. You'll say, oops, that hurt. I guess I better go bless somebody quickly. No. Hallelujah. But we all have reacted in the flesh by anger, by something. Most of the time, we were angry with ourselves. You know, bam, 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 bam. Why? How could I do that again? Man, I know better than that. You know, we can be our worst enemy. Of course, we give place to the devil, too. But in this, I'm talking about things that are very offensive to God. I'm talking about practicing wickedness. I'm talking about reacting according to those things that are offensive to God. And that reaction is nothing but an area where you are now acting on something that you've learned from your past. And you see it every time if you're looking. You see it. You could have been abused. You could have been rejected. You could have done something stupid that's still hounding you. You know, there isn't anything worse than torment. But even when you've repented of those sins, you still had torment because you weren't free yet. Repentance washes the blood so that you're not condemned to what you've done. Are you listening? But you still need to get free from it now. Hello? Yes, but I've repented. Why is this still going on? Because you've not loosed from it yet. You haven't seen where it's coming from. You haven't severed that emotional attachment to it. You haven't replaced that picture. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Therefore be what? Imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us as an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting. You ever get around somebody that's always coarse jesting? Man. That's called, these are areas of reacting. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving to what? Thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ in God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be what? Partakers with them. How about manipulation? Manipulation. That's a reaction. That's reacting, isn't it? People manipulate. That's still lying and reacting. You know, the world is always a woes is me's in oppression because of the past. So the enemy causes you to see yourself of the past.
Oh, nobody loves me. Nobody cares about me.
And when you correct someone, they get offended because they cannot see themselves in the new. They still see themselves in the past. And the only thing they know how to do is react to woe is me, oppression, pouting, miserable, and everything else. Does everybody understand? When you see yourself doing that, look and see what's there. What's that picture in your life? Why? Because you're reacting to that picture. Would Christ react that way? No. So we must begin to replace these pictures with the pictures of Christ. Let's go a little further in verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and having no fellowship with unfruitful works of deception or darkness, but rather exposing this deception. And what is the deception? The deception is those pictures of your past. That's why we have an imagination. It's the image. It's what you see. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light or give you life, that new life. You may have the Spirit again and the gifts, but must continue to expose deception, sever the emotional attachments, and replace the picture to react with the picture to respond. And I'm going to say this again. Three things we must do. Expose the deception, sever the emotional attachment, and replace that picture to react with the picture to respond. And all response will have an image of what Christ would do. All reacts will have an image of what the flesh would do. In other words, what the enemy would do. I mean, how he would treat someone. And I want to close with 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? You getting understanding? You know, people who walk in fear, there's people that are afraid of water, there's people who are afraid of heights and all these things. I mean, they just see that picture. They're not even on a cliff or near the water. And they begin to react. They begin to react. Oh, you made me stop me. You're kidding, they're ready to beat feet. Because of fear. That emotional attachment to that picture or something that has happened in their life. Or you could have been told something. Your mom could, or your parents, or your guardian, whatever, could have told you, listen, don't get close to that water, you're going to drown. Man, you thought of water, man, I'm going to drown. You didn't even want to take a shower. Man, you didn't want to be in that bathtub when they pulled the plug. I ain't going down that drain. You know? I mean, they're just, these things sound crazy. But, you know, as a child, this is when the enemy really imparts these pictures. And as you grow up and you come to adolescence and the things happen in your life and so forth, and these pictures are there. They're there. They become strongholds in your life. Hello? They become what? Strongholds, which is a memory lie. So if you're still reacting according to those things, you start looking and see what's up and start replacing it. And there's three things you got to do. Expose the deception, sever the emotional attachment, and replace the picture to react with the picture to respond. And that's according to the things of Christ. You know, when we're out there using drugs and drinking and everything else, that's all you're trying to do is cover those pictures. But we made more. Man, the portfolio got bigger instead of smaller. I had tractor trailers of portfolios. But I thank God for Christ. I thank God for the blood that allowed me to access through the blood so the Spirit would have access to me and bring me to the things and the deep things of the Spirit so I can walk in freedom and learn to sever and learn to fight and learn to battle. You know, you got to ask yourself, am I running? And which way am I running? Am I running to Him or from Him? Am I reacting or responding? Any circumstance that happens in your life, any kind of thing, any trouble, anything that's going on in your life, if you are reacting, running from Him, you better start looking at that picture so you can replace it and start running to Him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, would you read it? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down what? Strongholds. Those are memory lies that are associated with these pictures. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God or to respond. The character of Christ. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Yes. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So there's three things you got to do is what? Expose it. And you expose it by first recognizing it. If you don't see it, how can you expose it? You expose it by recognizing it. Then you sever the emotional attachment with it and you replace a picture to react with a picture to respond. What would Jesus do? Amen. Everybody wears it, but he has no idea what it is. Is everybody okay? Spiritual practice. Spiritual practice. React or respond. Expose it. Learn tonight. Grab hold of this. Are you reacting or are you responding? Are you running? Well, who are you running to? Look at those pictures. I'm telling you, your life will change and it'll get free. Just write them down. Every time you react, write that picture down. Man. And eventually you write it, I'm sure, you know, grab yourself a couple booklets. Start writing those pictures down every time you react. Fear, anger, whatever it is, hatred, whatever, criticism, this, that, you find stuff coming out of your mouth. Man, what am I seeing? Where's it coming from? Write that picture down. And then break that off. Break that off. And repent for anything that is associated with that picture. Or you'll constantly repeat. It don't matter how many times you repent, you'll still be bound and those demons will still be there. Demons are not removed by repentance. They are removed by casting them out. Hello? That's why Jesus said, and those who believe in me, these signs will follow. First thing, cast out devils. Hello? Is everybody okay? Use it. You'll find yourself walking in another arena. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And we know you want us to bring us to another place, Papa. We know. And we thank you for bringing us revelation and impartation tonight. I ask, Lord, that you will quicken us so that we are able to see those things you want us to see. That we may continue to sever those things that we have reacted instead of responded according to your way. Again, we repent. And we know that by repentance, you'll bring us to the place so we can get free. So, Lord, I bless your people tonight. I ask that you seal them with the blood. Grant them the understanding and the wisdom that they may go forth and expose, sever, and replace in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.